It's another side that, like, wants to take more. It wants to go that one more round. Because, like, going that one more round when you don't think you can, that's what makes all the difference in your life. You know what I mean?
All right, welcome to another episode of One More Round, the Rocky Series podcast. I'm your host, Ryan, and with me today is Katie and Kyle. How are you both doing today?
Fantastic. How are you?
Good. Kyle?
I was going to say fantastic, but Katie stole it. So I'm doing. I've been up since 6. Oh, I don't know. My son was up super early. I negotiated I will stay up when my wife goes back to sleep in exchange for nap rights later on during the day.
Oh, there you go. That's very nice of you. Sorry for the technical difficulties, everybody. I don't know what is going on today. It's weird.
I blame Discord because I didn't change anything with my mic and stuff, and all I had to do is cut leave and come back, and it was fine.
That's fair.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, well, I think Discord just knows that today's a busy morning. We've got a lot of news to talk about. Okay, but before we get to the news, Katie, why don't you read the emails?
All right. We have one from Adrian. He says, "Hi, Ryan, Katie, and Kyle. I thought I would share a few stories linked to a comment you said in your Distant Creed 2 commentary on the Going the Distance podcast. When asked if he was okay, Adonis simply said, maintaining. I think you, Ryan, wondered how people would react if this was a typical answer in everyday life. Well, over the past few months, I've used this answer as a high school teacher in Croydon, UK. Students would often ask, how are you, sir? I would simply say, maintaining, and walk away with a wry smile. Their faces were a mixture of disbelief and wonder. They weren't expecting this answer for sure. I think it really stumped them. I've also used this answer with my fellow teachers throughout the last few weeks. Some would ask, what do you mean by maintaining? Well, I am about to leave my current school and looking forward to a new role in a new school in September. So my reply did make some sense, I guess. No one clocked that this was from Creed 2, though, sadly. Keep going with the great podcast. Are you considering dissecting the Rocky IV Ultimate fan-made cut when you get to Rocky IV? I'm also really excited to hear everyone's breakdown of Rocky V. Kind regards, Adrian, host of the Arcade Attack podcast.
All right, thanks, Adrian. He's been on the show a couple times. Yes, great question. Are we doing the Rocky IV? I think we'll discuss that, the Ultimate Cut, because there is a Ultimate Cut out there. Basically, a fan did a wonderful job of piecing together the original footage of Rocky IV, as seen in theaters and on, you know, VHS all these years, and then the director's cut version in there, so all that extra footage. So you have the extra footage with nothing deleted from the original film. It might not be a bad idea, because that way you're talking about both while you go through the film. So you're talking about Rocky IV, the film that everyone's very familiar with, and we've already done that coverage on Going the Distance, so it might be a good way of doing this show, saying, hey, let's talk about the ultimate or the director's cut while we talk about the original anyways. So what are you guys' thoughts on that?
It makes sense. I'm flexible, whichever way works for you guys. You can read the next email while So the next email says, hello, Ryan, Katie, and Kyle. Just finished the latest episode of One More Round. What is striking to me about these episodes is experiencing Rocky in an audio-only format. I'm picking up new things just by listening to the film without the visuals. Some of the stuff that Polly mutters under his breath, Rocky dodging all of Polly's inquiries on Gazzo, it's just not something I've paid attention to before. It seems like you guys are discovering new things, too, by taking these bite-sized pieces of the film and breaking them down. Loving the show. Can't wait for the next one. All the best from Jared Tockstein, host of the Hyperspace Podcasting in the 25th Century.
I also want to say it's nice that a couple of podcast guys like Jared and Adrian listen to our show, because these guys run their own shows. And it's very flattering and humbling that people that do their own podcasting listen to us, because we're just ham and eggers. These guys do a very good job on their shows, and I've podcasted with both of them. Actually, Adrian and Jared have been on the Ramble series with me. Yeah, they're great guys. Check out my other show. It's A Long Road, the Ramble series podcast. I want to welcome everyone's in our Discord right now as well. We got a good group there today. Thank you, guys. We've got Rocco from the Rocky Trivia book. So what we'll do is we'll read that right now before we get sidetracked. So you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're doing our trivia now?
Yeah, we're just going to do it now. We're all business today,
okay.
Kyle.
Okay, I'm ready to go.
No fooling around today. It's too much to talk about. Okay. All right, so number 16. What is... Oh, we just want to plug this. This is the Rocky Trivia book. You can buy this on Amazon.ca or .com. It was written by 12-year-old Rocco, who's in our Discord right now. All right, question 16. What is the name of the bar that Rocky goes to? Remember, no answers in Discord. Play at home. What Oscar or Oscars did this movie win? So what Academy Awards did this film bring home? Question 18. What type of dog is Butkus? Now, I think I know this now because of you, Katie. Oh. I think you mentioned
it. Yeah, I already gave the answer away.
19. Okay, what are the names of Rocky's turtles? And then the last question, number 20. True or false, the Las Vegas odds say Rocky will last 3 rounds. Ooh.
Say that again, the Las Vegas odds?
So basically, does Las Vegas say he will make the 3 rounds or not?
The announcers say that. They say Las Vegas says, and they'll either say yes or no.
Oh, well, okay. I have, you know.
Oh, I thought they gave the odds. I remember the odds. I don't remember. Okay.
Well, they give the odds in the second movie. Of all.
Oh, is that the second movie? Okay.
Yeah, they said, like, he is a, I won't say the odds, he's a something to one underdog in this fight.
Yeah.
He was a something to one underdog last fight.
Okay.
What's your thoughts on the news that Samaritan, the kind of delayed film due to COVID, so it's not Sly's fault or the studio's fault, but the film has been delayed and now it's going straight to streaming in August, next month at the time of this recording. August 26th or something is The Samaritan, starring Sylvester Stallone, about an aging superhero that comes out of retirement. I personally am a little bit nervous that the movie is straight to streaming. Now, there's some arguments for and against, I understand, but my argument that makes me a little bit nervous about the quality of the film is, if the studio has faith in the film, why not release it? When's the last straight to streaming movie you ever saw that you're like, oh my gosh, why was this not in the theaters? Let's say Top Gun Maverick. That movie is blowing up the box office, passed $1 billion worldwide. The studio knew this film was going to make money. It's going to make money on streaming as well. When this comes out on streaming, it's also going to make money. You've made the movie theater money, which is just now they're going to make FU money when it goes on streaming. So what are your thoughts on maybe Samaritan not making the streaming, the circuit of the theaters? Should we be worried?
At first, I thought I had similar thoughts as you, Ryan. But then, I mean, obviously, I think it's just like they need to get it out. And it's been so long awaited. And I think they've kind of missed some windows for marketing. They haven't done any for whatever reason. And so I guess after some thought, I think it'll get more watches on streaming. Hmm. More people will see it because it seems like the only time people go to theaters now is like for the big... super, granted, this is supposed to be a super aging superhero movie, but like the Marvel movies and, you know, like big blockbuster type movies, but a normal movie, nobody seemingly goes to the theater to watch those anymore. Theaters are, I mean, I don't know how long they'll last.
It's fair. It's a fair argument. And I think there's people that fall into your camp with that. Absolutely. That's a fair argument. Yeah.
I think there's kind of a stigma around going to streaming because traditionally, if your movie went straight to DVD or VHS or whatever, that was a sign that it was a crappy movie. It didn't have what it takes to be in the theater, so you would think, okay, well, if it goes to streaming, then it doesn't have what it takes to be in the theater. But I don't think that's true anymore. I think that the streaming's kind of changed the game there, especially post-COVID. People don't go to the theater as often. I think people are more willing to stream. Someone probably did the math where it's like, okay, it's going to cost X to go into the theaters. We're going to get Y return out of it based on how many people are going to the theaters. You probably make more money is going right to streaming. Well, whoever sees it in the theater probably won't stream it. I don't know what the costs are of putting it in the theater, but they probably did a cost benefit and the benefit was going straight to stream.
Okay,
I'm just not sure how the numbers work that way. Like, it's hard to say.
Well, at the end of the day, it's about money. They don't want to lose money. They want to make money. And they whatever crunch, early previews, buzz, quality of film, all those things factor in. Like, okay, this is what we have. This is the product. It's done. We can't do any more about this. We'll make more money on streaming. So it doesn't mean it's going to be a horrible film. It just means maybe that, yeah, this is what we'll get on streaming. This is the best we're going to get. All I can say is I hope it's good. And I just wonder, though, are we going to see another Sly starring film. I know he's going to guest star, maybe a Marvel Guardians of the Galaxy. I think he might have another guest appearance or something like that. But are we going to have another Sly starring film in the theater?
If he does another, like Expendables will go to the theater. Yeah, Expendables 4.
But even that, he's not starring officially. Right. Starring Statham. And it has the end Stallone at the end. You know, it's
that's right. You're right. If there's another, like, Rocky or Rambo movie, definitely. If the new mob show, Tulsa King, does well, then possibly.
Yeah.
I think it might depend on how that does.
Every pod thinks they got one good fight left in them.
Yeah.
There's the stigma of streaming is certainly, especially because of COVID, it's not what it used to be. No, it's very viable. And that's how I don't go to the theaters anymore. I haven't been
in years.
Yeah, yeah. So I am definitely going to watch it anyways at home and in August. So I look forward to reviewing that on the podcast. Okay. Good comments here from Donald, though, in our Discord chat. He said that Paramount sold a bunch of movies to Amazon during the pandemic, and Top Gun Maverick was the only one they held on to because they knew they're going to make mega bucks with that film.
Yeah.
Okay. So now bring up your watch stream. I don't know if you guys, if it's big enough on your screen, but I'm going to bring it up on mine for the viewers at home. Can you read the dialogue there?
It's too small for me to see. Okay. Because
for people at home, they're going to see it when they see this live recording. And of course, for our audience listening on their earbuds, on iTunes, what have you, I'm going to read it to you and explain what's going on here. Sylvester Stallone, just yesterday of this recording, we're talking not even 24 hours ago. This was 18 hours ago at the time of this recording. He posted a picture of a book. Now, the book is called The Arrangement, A Love Story by David Winkler. Now, you might be saying to yourself, who the hell is David Winkler? Great question. Well, David Winkler is a producer, a small-time kind of producer, but he's also, more importantly, the son of Irwin Winkler, who was the producer of the Rocky films. Okay? And Irwin Winkler's partner in crime was a guy named Robert Chardoff, who was another producer, but who since passed away in 2015. And Robert Chardoff was his last movie to produce just before his death was, ironically, the Creed film, the first Creed film. Okay. Now, I give all this background. Before you read, don't read ahead, guys, if you can read it. The story that David Winkler wrote here is actually a memoir, so it's a true story. So it's called The Arrangement, A Love Story. And here's the synopsis of this book that just came out last June, barely a month ago. It says, everything in David Winkler's life reads like Once Upon a Time in Beverly Hills fairy tale. A film producer of titles such as the Creed franchise, the 53-year-old sits on the top tier of his profession, enjoys a wonderful relationship with his two children, and even gets along famously with his ex-wife. So this is all true story stuff right here. But seeking to avoid the drama and disappointment of dating, and with his belief in radical honesty and ethical non-monogamy, David reasons a shortcut through modern courtship. He becomes a sugar daddy. Using a website that connects successful older men with younger women for romantic financial relationships, David meets Jordan, a beautiful Instagram model, an influencer who harbors dreams of launching her acting career in Los Angeles. After the relationship begins magically, shadows begin to form and dark secrets take their toll. In the jaw-dropping tradition of Californication and Valley of the Dolls, The Arrangement takes us down the Hollywood rabbit hole of sex, power, and money, leaving readers in delightful disbelief because it's all true. Okay. You tracking so far? Is everybody on the... Okay. So that is the synopsis of the book. Okay. Here's what Sly had to say about this book. He says, I quote, "You know I love reading, and I've read thousands of books, but I have to say this one is by far the worst. If you ever run out of toilet paper, please buy this one. You won't be disappointed."
Whoa.
Yeah. "It's very absorbent. This unbearable, worthless dreck was written by the painfully untalented David Winkler, who is the son of the remarkably untalented and parasitical producer of Rocky and Creed. Even though I barely ever saw him around in all those years, the one and only Irwin Winkler and wife Margot. I really respected and loved his wonderful partner Robert Chardoff, who had real talent and soul, but unfortunately passed away much too soon. If it wasn't for Winkler, there would have been at least another three Rockies, and that would have been wonderful. Frankly, that crew are the worst unhuman beings I've ever met in the movie industry. I will forever love the loyal fans and keep punching. Remember, it feels good to clear your heart." He then posts these three creepy pictures of David Winkler, Irwin Winkler, and his wife Margot. On top of that, just before this recording, 48 minutes ago... Sly posts this painting. I don't, can you see the painting?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. He posts this painting. He says, a very flattering portrait of the great Rocky Creed producer Irwin Winkler for one of the country's greatest artists. Also, after you controlling Rocky for over 47 years and now Creed, I should have at least a little of what's left of my rights back before passing it on to only your children. Don't you think that would be fair, gesture from the 93-year-old gentleman? This is a painful subject that eats my soul because I want to leave something of Rocky for my children. But it's always great hearing from the loyal fans. Keep punching.
So Irwin Winkler is still alive?
Yes.
Okay.
He's 93. He owns the rights to Rocky. Stallone does not own the rights to Rocky. He gave those rights away when he was a young starving actor to the film producers.
Robert Chardoff too, or just Winkler?
Well, I don't know about Chardoff. I mean, Chardoff has passed away, so I don't know. I would assume Irwin has full control. Just overall, Sly, by golly, it's his right to vent his frustration. He's obviously hurting.
Is this the first time that he's speaking out about his clear hatred for the Winkler family?
Publicly, yes. Is my understanding, yes. He's hinted at it. Publicly, this is the most vocal he's ever been about the Winklers and his feelings on... He has mentioned that he doesn't own the Rocky rights. I think that was public knowledge, but... Yeah.
I guess my thoughts are like, it's unusual and a little like, I don't love hearing him speak so negatively just because I'm not used to, you know, he's on a pedestal to me, but he is a human being. So that's a little striking. Mm-hmm. I feel like since he's getting older, the content of the book, I would hate also that idea, the sugar baby thing. I'm like, it's like disgusting to me. Like to each their own, It's just, you're fine with somebody using you for your money. Great. But so the content of the book, I hear if he's like, I don't like this book, blah, blah, blah. But I think more so since the Winkler family is coming into the spotlight a little bit more, then he's seeing how the aging, Irwin is 93. He's like, really getting angered by the fact that he's also aging, and it's like he's being reminded that he doesn't have the rights, seemingly. And, you know, whatever's gone on negotiation-wise behind closed doors, it sounds like it has not gone well or amicably at all. And so he's lashing out. He's getting old. This guy's going to die pretty soon, and his kids are going to get the rights.
Yeah.
I did not like hearing that post. I'm trying very hard to be understanding. It obviously sounds like he's, like Katie said, he's very hurt. There's been some stages in my life where I felt very hurt, and then I put some things on social media that I regret, so I can't really judge him for doing that here. I feel like if he, 5 years from now, he might look back on something like that and kind of maybe cringe a bit. I think he's legitimately hurt, and I can respect that. We've talked about this before, this whole thing with the rights to Rocky. Every time I've heard Stallone talk about that, it comes around to the money part of it, which I understand. No one likes leaving money on the table, even if it's a matter of principle. Like, I work with people who are really rich, millions and millions of dollars, and then some transaction that's like they lose $200 or something like that, and they're flipping out. And I'm like, that's like nothing to you. Still, you know, you wouldn't take $200 out of your wallet and throw it in the trash, right? Just the idea of losing that. But I'd be more sympathetic if he says, look, I created Rocky. This is my thing, and I want the rights to it because it's mine. Like, I deserve the rights to it. And then he's talking about leaving stuff for his children. Like, this guy is beyond wealthy. His children are set for life if he wants them to be. They'll want for nothing.
That's true.
Right? I don't feel bad for you from a money perspective only. You have way more money than any person could ever need. But I would respect it more if it was from like an artistic, I want the rights because this is something I created. I take pride in the fact that I created this character, and I think I should be recognized for that by having the rights. I'd way more easily take your side on that there.
No, all good points. Obviously a very sensitive subject. We trying to get into the mind of anyone, let alone Stallone. It's not that it's none of our business. We're a Stallone podcast. Obviously we focus our attention on his creations, i.e. the Rocky one in particular. It's something that he created, and I'm sure if he could go back in time, he might have not given the rights away, but he was a young starving actor, probably just, at the time, I'm so grateful to have this chance, whatever you need to get this movie on made, whatever the deal was. he got hoodwinked maybe. Maybe, you know, he understands the business now more, of course, than he would have 45 years ago. All these things come into play. And I think it's not about the money. I know what you're saying, Kyle. It's also about the legacy. He's not able to give this to his family. Like, the Rocky franchise, just like George Lucas, or he sold his to Disney. I'm just trying to think of somebody. The Lord of the Rings guys, Tolkien, like, that is within their estate. They were able to keep the Tolkien estate holds control of the Lord of the Rings. Like, that whole fantasy franchise is owned by the Tolkien estate. And I think that's kind of what Sly is sort of feeling, like, shite. I don't have that, like, the Tolkien estate. I can't give this Rocky estate, this franchise, to my family. It doesn't stay within the Balboa family. It's, the Stallone family. But the Balboa Stallone family doesn't get to hold on to this, you know, for future projects. Maybe a reboot in 20, 30 years. You know, you never know. Like, there are a comic book series, book, all, you know, all these things is gone. He can't, it doesn't stay. And it's this 93-year-old guy with his kids who have nothing to do with the franchise. They get to bilk money off this. And yeah, it is about money. They get to bilk millions and millions for years to come that Sly has no control over. Especially when he's gone. That's the thing. Once Sly does die, he's going to leave this earth. And once he's dead, his family will have zero ability to get this back in there. Like, it's just, it's over.
Yeah, they can ruin the legacy by doing a project, you know, just for money because they don't feel that connection, you know, the great grandkids or something. And so I can see that, like, as a fan, that's, like, worrisome to me, that the legacy of the franchise will maybe be muddied.
In the minds of people, no one cares about Weakler. Like, whenever anyone thinks of Rocky, they're going to think of Stallone every time. And in everyone's mind, everyone knows that he created that. From a legacy standpoint there, and like what he'll be remembered for, it'll be Sly who's remembered for Rocky, not Winkler. It really is kind of more about the money there. But like, I get why he's pissed about that. Like, I understand that. But I did find it interesting that he said if it wasn't for him, there'd be at least three more Rocky films.
Sure.
Maybe that's for the best. I do not like milking a franchise for everything it's worth. Like, I think some less is more sometimes. If we had Sly doing more Rocky movies in the 90s, I don't think it would have been the best.
Sly did like my comment, though, yesterday. I commented under the Rocky series podcast. I said, the beast in the basement.
Oh, good one, Ryan.
That was a very thoughtful, on point.
Thank you.
It was, and Sly liked it.
Yeah.
Ryan?
Yeah, you liked it. Yeah, it was cool. And I do know that he handles his social media. That was from, I can't say from who, but I asked somebody that knows Sly, and I said, look, does he do the actual typing? And he goes, yeah, we talked about that. So he does it.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. All right. But he's very generous. Sly, not to toot my own horn, he's very generous. Sly's very generous. Well, there's a lot to talk about. I'm sure we might get some emails or comments about our thoughts. Of course, we don't have any answers. We don't know anything. We're just ham and eggers. But we love you, Sly. You know, we love your product. We love the Rocky character. We love the movie franchise. It's a tricky business. Money does corrupt everything in the end of the day. It's too bad that we can't just be artists without the idea of money holding back everything. It's too bad everyone wasn't able to express their life through art or stories or novels or poems or music without the restrictions of money or the corruption of money. You know what I mean? The world would just be a better place if we could just, everybody could just express what they have to share without whatever, you know. Anyways, it's just not the world we live in, unfortunately. Okay, well, here we are. We're going to go into the movie. All right, here we go. They just finished, of course, at the ice rating skink. Fun little date. Now, the funny thing is they're walking to Rocky's apartment, but I wonder what the discussion was after the ice. Adrian must have known they're walking. Did he say, I'm going to walk you home, or did he say, I'm going to walk you to my apartment? Because that's where they're walking to.
Yeah, like, is his place on the way, I wonder?
Maybe.
It might be. They do live very close together. Like, they're in the same neighborhood. I have always wondered that as well, Ryan. It's strange, especially in the 70s, that he wouldn't walk her to her house, home. But yeah, it must be on the way.
It'd be weird. It's like, all right, Adrian, thanks for dropping me off in this sketchy part of town in the dark. have a fun walk home.
You know, some people are very shy by nature, you know. I say you're very shy by nature, you know.
I suppose.
Hey,
Frank Stallone.
The bum from the dock. Get a
bum count.
Bum.
Two.
Oh, I'm on it. I got him. I got two recorded here.
to. That was Frank Stallone, of course, coming out. Now, there was a question on Reddit, on the Rocky Balboa Reddit, which is a kind of a small Reddit subreddit, but it's fun. It's called Rocky Balboa. It's on Reddit, of course, dedicated to the Rocky franchise and the character. And there was a question on there saying, does Rocky say it's the bum from the dock or the bum from the dark? Now, in the subtitles officially from the Blu-ray, this is the Blu-ray, special edition Blu-ray that we're watching. So according to the Blu-ray captions, and they probably drew it from the screenplay, it does say the bum from the dark.
I mean, this makes me feel so much better that you mentioned this. Because growing up, I always thought it's the bum from the dock, someone Rocky knew from the dock. And then for some reason, I saw it with the subtitle on and it said the bum from the dark. And I'm like, oh my God, I got it wrong this whole time. I feel good that a bunch of other people thought that it was the dock also.
Dark doesn't really make sense. I don't really get that. The bum from the dark. That doesn't really make sense to me.
Well, it comes out of the dark alleyway, right?
You're right. It doesn't make sense. It would make more sense for Rocky to say, I've seen you at the docks, even though we haven't seen Frank Stallone at the docks, but we could assume he works at the docks. Maybe he sings part-time. It's Rocky.
Singing bum, or the bum from the trash can fire, or, you know, whatever. But anywho.
It's the bum from the dark. Two bum
count. No, you're probably doing drugs in that alley. Like, what else are you doing in an alley at that time?
Maybe Frank was with Gloria.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a number of things he could have been doing, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, some people think that being shy is a disease, you know, but it don't bother me now, you know?
Don't bother me either.
Why'd I bother bringing it up, huh? Because I'm dumb, that's why. I think we make a real sharp couple of coconuts. I'm dumb and you're shy. What do you think, huh?
I don't understand why anybody would
want to
be a fighter.
He's kind of pushing the future on to Adrian a little bit. He's already talking about them as a couple. Look, you're shy and I'm dumb. We're a couple of coconuts. He's already kind of labeling them as a couple. He's kind of already envisioning, maybe is a better word, that they are now a couple. They are going to be together. This is the first date of many.
Yes, I agree. It's either that or he's trying to sell how it's a good idea that they could be a couple. Like, hey, we're a good fit together.
Yeah, like we'd make a cute
I'm
couple.
I'm stupid, but I'm loyal, and I'm a nice person.
But I'm dumb.
Yeah.
Self-deprecation is, he does a lot of that, but it works, I guess, here. But also kind of putting her down, which doesn't really work.
I was going to ask you, he's saying you're shy. You know, you're shy. And then she says, I suppose.
Yeah. He says it's like a disease. So it's like in a negative context, which if I were Adrian, I'd be like, you, buddy.
I don't think he meant that, because he was saying, like, I think some people are shy by nature, which is the way you are. Some people think being shy is a disease, acknowledging that it's generally not accepted in society, but I don't have a problem with it. I think it's fine. Like, I accept your shyness. Katie, I understand your point why you'd be offended that, because it's like, that's often a passive aggressive way you burn people, right? Mm-hmm. Like you don't come out and say directly, I think people who are shy, it's a disease. You'd be like, well, some people think that, you know, like, you know, some people think you might have a body odor problem, or, you know.
But it don't bother me none.
Don't bother me none.
He puts it in her head then that it's like a problem, which was unnecessary. He's just like running his mouth. She's shy and she's not really talking, but now she is because she says she's asking him a question. So.
I think it was just his way of saying, I don't mind that you're shy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he said it kind of awkwardly in a way that could make you question yourself. By, like, yeah, you shouldn't mention that other people think it's a disease, because that could make you, if you have an insecurity about that already, that kind of feeds that insecurity.
Exactly.
I think when he was saying disease, I think he's saying it's not your fault. Like, the way you would get a disease isn't your fault.
Yeah.
Other than AIDS, no. No, but if he's... he's saying that it's not your fault. You were born that way. You're just, by nature, you're a shy person. That's all. By nature, I'm a dumb person. So together, we make a fine couple. I'm dumb. Mm-hmm. You're shy. Aren't we a couple? That's all he's saying. So I think he's saying the disease part is saying it's not your fault. That's just what nature gave you.
I think what he should have said, what would get her heart more or be less negative would be, hey, you have a brain. I have a body. Together we fill gaps. We make a sharp pair of coconuts.
I hope he uses a gaps analogy later.
Gaps. I hope. Yeah. So. Yeah.
So she asks the question, I don't understand, why would anybody want to fight? And I love the way she asks it. She sounds so shy asking this question. Like, her voice is, like, quivering a little bit.
It's like, I don't understand why anyone would want to be a fighter. I love that she asks that. It's like a cool, open-ended question. It's not really a question. It's a statement. But it's really begging the question, why do you want to be a fighter?
Hey, you've got to be a moron. You've got to be a moron to want to be a fighter. You know what I mean? It's a rock where you almost guaranteed to end up a bum.
I don't think you're a
bum.
I'm at least half a bum, you know?
Three bums. Holy three smokers.
Bums. So we're up to five bums so far.
Wow. I don't think you're a bum. And he goes, I'm at least half a bum. Okay, well.
I love how he says, you got to be a moron.
Yeah.
Like, the way he... Yeah.
Okay, this crushed me as a kid on it, actually. When I was a little kid, I love fighting. Like, I always loved fighting as a kid.
And
I wanted to be a boxer. Secretly in my mind. I never told anyone, right?
Aw, little guy.
And he's like, you got to be a moron. And I'm like, ooh.
Then you see him becoming amazing. And
yes, yeah. True enough.
It's actually kind of true. The idea that he's right. Another way to say it is you just got to be crazy. Like, you got to be insane. Because the idea to put yourself in harm's way on purpose, it is a little bit insane. Like, the idea, like, I'm going to put myself in a ring or a squared circle, whatever, and someone's going to kick and punch me, and it's going to cause me pain. Like, why would I'm not a fighter. I don't want to feel pain. It does not entice me at all. And I actually don't want to inflict pain on anybody. Like, I don't want to hurt you. I'm too empathetic for that. Like, I get the competition, but you have to think, not everyone thinks this way. That's the whole thing, or else everyone would just be a fighter. Like, the idea that you'd want to throw punches and receive a punch and get, you know, train, you can think about, you're training to take hits to the head. That's a weird concept to me. So yeah, you would have to be a moron to be a fighter.
To put it in, like, a business terminology, entering the boxing world is a career choice, is a super high risk, low expected return decision. Like he said, it's a rap. You're almost guaranteed to end up a bum in that it's extremely competitive industry. It's people all over the world want to be boxers. Everyone wants to be the champ. And so just probability-wise, you're not going to make it that high, most likely. Everyone thinks they're special, of course. And you're not going to make good money unless you're up in the high ranks. So you're going to spend a lot of time making shit money, taking a lot of punishment. And then you'll likely have to quit either because you keep losing or you sustain some kind of serious injury. And then you end up in your 30s with no career options and a bunch of physical problems. So, yeah, he's pretty on the nose. I think a lot of people who end up going into boxing, they don't have a lot of other options.
Indeed. And even those who, quote unquote, succeed in boxing, when they're done, their body and brain are damaged. It's not great, even if you're the best.
Worst thing about fighting is the morning after. You know?
Morning after.
I tell you. Yeah, the morning after a fight, you're nothing but like a large wound. You know what I mean? Sometimes I got pains all over me. I feel like calling a taxi to take me from the bed into the bathroom. You know what I mean? Your hair hurts, your eyes hurt, your face is all busted up, your hands are swollen. You know? Look at his face. 64 fights. Look at that nose. See that nose? That nose ain't never been broken. 64 fights. I had guys busted on it. I had guys chewing on it, twisting it, punching it. I mean, whack. Boom. These guys are hitting my nose all the time. Never broke. I'm very proud of that. It's not rare. That's rare.
Why do you do it if it hurts?
Why do you think?
Because you can't sing a dance?
Yeah, something like that.
Couple little trivia questions here that might come up later in our book, of course. You know, how many fights did he have or before you had his nose broke? So keep that number in mind. I don't know. I actually don't read ahead, just so you know, with the questions. I don't read ahead. What I like here as well is he's talking about how much pain a fighter is in after the day after. I can imagine. I played a little bit of sports growing up, like rugby. And rugby, you know, you get beaten up a little bit. You get punched, scraped, and all that stuff. You know, so I did, funny enough, did have a painful sport was rugby. But yeah, the morning after, you do feel things, you know, as you know. But he talks about how you'd want to call a cab to go from the bed to the bathroom. And we have this later explored in the Creed film when Mama Creed tells Adonis, like, you know, I had to drag your father up those stairs and I had to wipe his butt. We do learn that the fighters, they get beaten up so bad that one, you could almost need help going to the bathroom. But the idea that, yeah, Rocky, even in these little bar fights, you know, he has a hard time just getting out of bed going to the bathroom.
His address is 1818.
Yes, it's 1818.
That was their trivia. We had a previous trivia question.
I can't believe I got that. I was the only one that got that wrong. You both got it right.
I liked Adrienne, how she remembered the can't sing or dance part. Mm-hmm. To me, that shows that she pays attention and she's interested. One thing I like about Adrienne, and just shy people or more introverted people in general, is that when they say something, it's important. Like, they listen and then they say something poignant and important. Or it's like Rocky or like somebody's kind of more extroverted. They say a lot. And I'm not saying nothing they're saying isn't important, but there's a lot of filler in there.
I agree. I caught that too, that she mentions the previous joke. But the funny thing is he doesn't build off it very much. He goes, yeah, something like that. It's an odd response. You think he'd be like, oh, yo, you were listening or something. I don't know. Yeah, I find it odd. He kind of brushed it off. He just says, yeah, something like that.
Well, he's trying to get her upstairs. He's already getting, you know, he's up the porch stairs and opening the front door. He's well ahead in his brain of where this date's going.
Yeah, it's very awkward because I'm sure everyone who's listening has seen the movie. And they remember, of course, that he is, three steps here, a few feet higher in the air than she is. He's already taller than her. It's really a kind of interesting dynamic. He's kind of standing over her. He's kind of in this power position, but it looks like a power position. She's the one who's going to decide if she's going upstairs or not. But yeah, a lot of pressure on Adrienne right now.
So much. Also, I want to point out that this might be the first of many, 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 many scenes on stairs.
That's right. You mentioned that before. Yeah, mm-hmm. That was you. That's right. Steps. Worst nickname in the Rocky. Mm-hmm.
let's say hypothetically, Adrienne was a hard no to going upstairs. We all know she doesn't, but let's say she does. The walk down those steps to walk her home would be the worst three steps you'd ever take. Like, you'd feel like total shit going down those.
He'd be walking her home real fast.
Yeah, it'd be awkward. Mm-hmm. He's throwing the Hail Mary here. He's trying to get her upstairs. This is a high risk, high potential reward here.
He knows he's got her, though, somehow. He's abundantly confident here. He just even starts to go up to his place and assumes that she'll follow.
Him going up the stairs, it's like almost kind of like saying, well, you can come upstairs or you can walk home by yourself, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
You.
I don't know. There's a lot of creeps out there. You always tell a creep, you know.
Like that. Hey, you want to come inside?
No, I got to go.
Hey, come on. Hey, I got some animals. I got these rare, very rare animals inside. Come on.
No, I got to go.
Well, I got to go, too. I got to go to the bathroom. Come on.
No, I got to go.
Hey, look at this face. Is that a face you can trust or what?
Now, rewatch this for the 100th time. You see Adrian's face there. She actually is being playful there. If you look at her expression, do you want me to go back? I can go back. But she actually was like, nah, I gotta go. But she was being a little bit more playful there than you would think. She was being...
I wouldn't mind rewatching that because I didn't catch that.
Yeah,
well, I think the first... She says I gotta go three times. The first time she says it was playful. And then the subsequent time she says it is more like, no, really, I gotta go.
Okay, let me see. Watch her face. I think I go back far enough. Let's see.
No, I gotta go.
Hey, come on. Hey, I got some animals. I got these rare, very rare animals inside. Come on.
No, I gotta go.
Well, I gotta go too. I gotta go to the bathroom.
One of these things more playful right here. See, she smiles.
Come on.
No, I gotta go.
Hey, I got.
See, no, I gotta go. I think she's giving in a little bit.
But. Huh? Is it? That'll stick this face on a stamp. What do you think? Huh? Come on in. Yo.
Of course, we all love that scene where he kind of gently pushes the door open. And she does go in on her own accord. Now, I just want to be clear as we talk about this upcoming scene. And we've got half an hour. Kay's got a hard out, so we've got to make sure we get this in. So, really quickly, I just want to say this for the record. We know in 2022, this wouldn't be written like this today. We understand the coercion and all that. You know, he's like convincing her with his charm or whatever. She's made it clear. But at the same time, you could argue, well, she did go inside. There's no forceful entry. She went inside. We'll get to the scene later with his arm, but we get it. But the point is, we know the Rocky character. I just want to make that clear. We know his intentions as viewers, as his character. We get it. We know that a first-time viewer of this film, you see it 100 times in reaction channels on YouTube with this movie. With 2022 eyes, we get it. Wouldn't it be written this way? You could easily just tweak this scene, and it would be written differently today. But I just want to get that out in the open. Like, we get it. We get that you wouldn't write it. Like, but this is 1976, and it's still an innocent scene in my books because we know the Rocky character would not even hurt a fly. He's so harmless.
We know that. I don't know if you're viewing this film for the first time in 1976. Probably know that, too. You probably like him by this time.
I never felt this way ever until this whole... I hate to say the Me Too movement. I don't mean it like that. But, I mean, I never considered this scene as a non-consensual ever scene.
This particular scene, pressuring her to go upstairs, personally, I would never do this on a date. It's just not my personality. I really don't like pressuring people and making people uncomfortable. Like, I hate sales, for example. Kind of like that pressure, like a hard sell type of sales like that. It wouldn't be for me here. You could probably say here, even in 2022, Rocky's being a bit too pushy. But yeah, I agree. There's nothing non-consensual here. She could easily just walk away. I don't think he'd grab her or do anything like that. I would be interested to know if there's any more mature listeners to the podcast.
I don't think
who are into dating. What's that?
I don't think we have any of those mature listeners, but
fair enough. That are of Rocky's age, meaning is that what you mean? Yeah, like world, at that time.
People who are in the dating world in the 70s, what they thought of this.
Yeah. I have a feeling it was not that this makes it okay, but the coercive, like, come on, just come on. But that was somewhat commonplace for a certain type of guy, maybe. But
or like the whole idea of like playing hard to get.
Yeah, it's clear she kind of wants to, but she's like, I shouldn't. And
she's a bit of a rock tease. She's a bit of a rock tease. She closes the door behind her, so she feels safe enough to do that. It's a very indication that she closes the door behind her, right?
Well, she's just considerate that way, too.
Yeah.
She's considerate.
Oh, Adrian, you hungry? I got some things in there. I got, if you like soda, some donuts or something. A couple cupcakes. Huh? No?
I love he's got donuts and cupcakes, and he's got chocolate. Huh? Like, that's awesome.
Chocolate. Like, no actual food. Meanwhile, they have not eaten dinner.
That's right.
Yeah, that we know of.
Yeah.
Theoretically, they may have grabbed a bite on the way home, but probably not actually, because almost any restaurant would be closed.
Mm-hmm.
Except for maybe Chinese food. I think Chinese food would be available, but if I were a betting man and you were to ask Sly if they got Chinese food on the way home, he would say no.
No. And I think that's why he offers us, but it's hilarious to me that he has like no actual food.
Usually you offer a coffee or maybe a glass of wine. Or something like that.
But I do love how he's got chocolate, cupcakes, and donuts. That's, you know, I'm not going to lie to you, that's okay, but chocolate, isn't that supposed to be to a girl's heart, chocolate?
An aphrodisiac? Yeah, I just think it's funny that he's not, I don't know, you want some cheese and crackers and wine, like Kyle said, or like, it's just like super random. You want a cupcake and a beer? You know, like, no.
You know, I feel like I'm really hard on Rocky with the dating things there, because I have this set of rules in my head of rules of what you should do and what you shouldn't do on dates, and I think those are valuable to a degree, but I think also at the end of the day there is something to just being yourself. Rocky's weird. He's a weird guy. He's kind of almost eccentric. He's weird in a charming, cool way. Like, I like it. I'm weird, so I can relate to it. I think it's good just to be yourself. That's who he is. Adrian, from her perspective, she can like it or not like it.
Do you guys have that orange, yellow, orange plastic pitcher?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, we did too.
Of course.
Yeah.
For watchers, they're talking about this right here. Yeah. Okay, so we have to keep in mind that there's some history between Adrian and Rocky. They have known each other we know that Rocky and Polly have known each other since high school. Yep. And Adrian has peripherally, at the very least, been around them. There's a history there. Adrian knows Rocky's not a dangerous person. Because even Rocky says, oh, I've been, you know, going to your sister every day and telling you, like, it could also mean that This is their first romantic get-together, but Rocky and Adrian, they could have been friends for all we know. There's no indication that they don't know each other. It's just that she's shy, and the way they talk, you would assume there is some history, the way they are with each other. But this is their first time alone. Maybe it's just like dating your buddy's sister. Like, you grew up with her, and all, but now you're attracted to her. Now he's like, oh, I want to date her now, you know? So, like, we don't get that history. Maybe a prequel would give us that kind of history, but I'm going to go with the canon that because in Rocky III, we know that Paulie and Rocky were at least high school friends. There's like 10 to 15 years of history, probably peripherally, that Adrian knows Rocky, that he's not dangerous, and vice versa.
He visits her twice a day. He's purchased the animals from her. Like, she sees how he is with Butkus. Yeah, I don't think that she's fearful. I think she's never been in this situation.
Yeah, she's out of her element, and I totally get this. If I'm in a situation where I'm out of my element, I'm an anxious person by nature. I think Adrian is too. I tense up. Like, I physically, like, my body language, I'm very hesitant to say anything. I'm very hesitant to openly talk. Even if, like, someone else, like, say, like, Doug or someone comes on the podcast here and I don't know them, I'll get quiet. You know what I mean? By nature.
Yeah, don't worry about Doug. He's a teddy bear. Oh, he'll just... He'll just hold you in his big, strong, tattooed arms and just pat your head so gently and give you a little blow in your ear. And oh, he's such a gentle giant.
I just used Doug as an example. Sorry, to quickly comment on the apartment here.
Sure, of course.
It's a man's apartment.
They're all the same.
I would be scared from Adrian's perspective being in this apartment. For example, Rocky just hung his coat on a knife that was stabbed into the wall.
True.
And there's other knives that are also stabbed into the wall that are similarly used to, is like a hanger, an improvised hanger. If you look in the cupboard drawers right behind Adrian, there appears to be years of filth that is accumulated. And touching that, so like, this place is disgusting. Katie, you go home to a guy's place, guessing maybe if it's a little cluttered, that's okay. But if it's like grimy in there, like, what do you think?
If it were me, I would be really disappointed at the condition. I mean, I wouldn't care that he had like a shitty apartment, but if he at least kept it clean or whatever. But I will let that pass if it were, because he's about to take his sweater off and he looks real good. So have you guys seen the Friends episode where Phoebe's like dating two guys? And she's like, well, Jason's really nice, so he gets a point. And so is Vince. But then Vince also has the body.
So then are you going to dump Jason?
Well, yeah, because I have to break up with someone. And okay, so Jason is sensitive, but now so's Vince. Plus, Vince has the body, you know? So it's really just about the math.
It is interesting that he takes his sweater off right away. Like, I don't know. Do you guys think that he's just... Isn't? Do you think he knows he looks good?
Yes,
or
yes, of course. But what I love is he says he's warm, so he's taking off his sweater. So we know Rocky pays the bills because the heat's been on. It's November, but he's kept the heat on the apartments. At least he keeps his apartment warm.
He pays the bills. Well, actually, a lot of apartments, I don't know, maybe in Philly it's different or where you guys are. Most apartments here, you don't pay for heat. It's included in your rent. That you pay for electricity and water?
I think it varies. This is like a house turned into apartments, it looks like. So I don't know what the story is there, but yeah.
I'll also point out that Rocky takes his sweater off like a woman.
Can't do it that way. I can't cross my arms to take off a shirt. I don't know.
Yeah, how I was talking to my wife. I'm like, why do women take their shirts off that way?
It looks sexy when their breasts just fall out.
I don't do that. It's not the right way to take a shirt off.
I like pull my... here and just pull it off, and my wife says, well, if you had long hair, you'd mess up your hair.
The way to do it is to take one arm out first. That's the less likely way to mess your hair up. Anyway,
hey, Katie, show us how to take your top off.
That's the right way to do it
for our patreons. Katie will okay wait that's OnlyFans. I'm sorry, I'm getting the two mixed up. Okay. All right, so let's watch Rocky take off his shirt.
Hot in here, you know?
See, he says it's hot in here. Yeah. Just casually takes off a shirt. Music. Turn on the music. So he's setting the mood now. He's setting the mood. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yo, Adrian.
Oh my God, she just looks like...
These are the exotic animals I was telling you about. These are my friends, Cuff and Link.
I sold them to you.
Sure, I know you sold them to me. Remember you were working at that pet shop, huh? First day you was there and I came in and bought both these animals, huh? Sure, I remember that. I came in, I bought this bowl, and I bought the animals themselves, the food, the marbles that go on the bottom there. Remember that mountain? I had to get rid of that mountain, though, because they kept falling over and flipping, you know what I mean?
History here, he bought those animals from her first day at the pet shop. So that gives me a little bit of history, too, that he knew that she was working there. Or would you assume that he happened to be there? So that's what I mean. I think he knew of her through Polly, and he might have already been attracted to her before she actually started working at the pet shop. So she goes there, and he's like, hey, I'm going to... And then the first day she works there, he buys the place. You know, he just drops all this money on her for her first... Like, I wonder if she got some sort of commission from all that sale of the turtles and the...
And my guess is she started at the pet shop a few years ago, and then he was going to the gym or something and noticed she's there. Says, hey, there's that cute girl I like. I need an excuse to go in there and talk to her. And he likes animals anyway.
Mm-hmm. In my book, if you are like a huge animal, like you get a million points for that. That buys you a lot in my book. I would even forgive the hole in his wife beater. Like, why? Come on, Rocky. You knew you were going on a date. Put on a decent... undershirt. There's a hole in it.
You would appreciate how you just not been wearing the shirt underneath the sweater when you took out. Okay.
Yep.
To counter your point, Katie, it does look very bright white, though. There's not a hint of mustard stain on that wife beater.
True.
So
he probably has another one. I don't know if they all holes, but like wear a decent one anyway.
She's got soft jazz.
Come on over and sit down.
Sorry. Go ahead and say.
No, I just kind of forgot how in disarray the couch is. Like, he has to move shit off of it for a place for her to sit.
Yeah, there's a blanket on that couch that, I say the probability of that having residual semen on it is 100%. There is a bunch of newspapers. The couch is a shitty couch. You have, like, springs and, like, stuffing coming out of it. And then for the listeners, there are a bunch of beer bottles wedged between the couch and the wall.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that's probably the most unappealing couch you could possibly want to sit on.
Good thing she has like 19 sweaters and a coat on.
So. Yeah, exactly.
Why don't you come over and sit down? You advise her to sit down.
Nice couch. I don't know.
I love how he says it's a nice couch. I don't know. Well, which one is it, Sly? Is it a nice couch or not a nice couch? I want to know. You don't want to know. I want to know.
Like Kyle said, he's a talker. He's like one of those jabberers.
There's big bugs in there, you know. It's safer over here. You want to sit down?
Yes. Yes, I do.
She does advance over there. She gets over there. And now we do have an interesting comment that Donald brought up earlier. And thank you, everyone, on our Discord that's leaving comments and chatting. We do appreciate it. But he brought up an interesting comment that Adrian's hesitancy could be religious, that she is Catholic. So she might be holding to her religion more than maybe the characters of Paul and Rocky do. But they're all Catholic in this society, right?
Mm-hmm. Good point.
She's feeling nervous about her own sexuality. So she's feeling it. You know, so there's a part of her that, you know, of course, the female human part of her wants to, but then her own upbringing is like, I can't do that. I'm a good Catholic girl. I got to wait till I'm married. That's a theory. Now, Kyle doesn't agree by his facial expressions, but she's also shy, but she could be a combination of shy and religious. So she's just, it's scary for your first time.
Sure. Donald could be right. There's no reason that couldn't be right. Like, she is Catholic. She could have those thoughts. Plus, there's the idea that a good girl doesn't do this. The whole slut-shaming thing you're putting out on the first date. Although, I don't even know if sex is in her mind right now. I just don't see any evidence of Adrian being religious at all during any of the other episodes of Rocky. Whereas, they kind of go out of the way to show Rocky has some religious feelings. Or at least he maybe finds religion in the second movie. To me, there just isn't enough to show that she has religion on the mind, but she definitely could. I personally think she is just super conflicted because she wants to go over there, but she's such a fish out of water. It's so foreign. I'm guessing she has anxiety, and as someone who has anxiety, I can empathize with her in this situation because you're so afraid of doing the wrong thing or saying the wrong thing or doing something you regret or just being awkward. That ironically, you end up just standing there like that, which is probably the most awkward thing.
Mm-hmm.
So she does come forward, though. That's a good indication. She does come closer to Rocky.
These your parents?
Yeah, that's both of them there.
That's both of them there. Unlike my polygamous family, that's just the both parents there. Yeah, I love that.
That's very natural, like a thing to do if you're kind of uncomfortable and you're in a man's apartment for the first time, you know, at this time. And she's, finding something to comment on in the apartment.
Yeah, this is a great transition. It's a good way for her to kind of change the subject and also to kind of get to know him a bit by talking about the pictures.
And I believe that is, of course, Sly's parents' real life. And those are all real photos from Sly's real life. I'm sure most of our listeners know that, of course.
Is this you?
Yeah, that's me when I was 8 years old. That's the Italian stallion when he was a baby.
I love his face there.
Yeah, it's natural.
He's like kind of proud of it. He thinks he's being cute. And he is. He is.
Look, I know I was a cute 8-year-old, but I wouldn't put my picture up anywhere of me being 8.
It is weird, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your parents, I can understand. But this is early days. This is Facebook. That's all. She's liking his photos on Facebook right now.
Yeah.
Usually you put pictures of things that are important to you. Like in my office at work, I have pictures of my family and things like that. And like you want to be reminded of certain things. Your parents there, that makes sense. He has his football pictures. And I think he has trophies and other things up in the apartment. So I think his football days in high school or whatever he played football is a positive for him. But I'm wondering why there's this picture of him as a kid. Stallone himself had to decide to put that picture up. They probably like, hey, we need some pictures up there. Find some. Of all the pictures he went through, he chose that one. And not only did he choose that one, he made that one the focus of this conversation. I wonder if it's something along the lines of that harkens back to a more innocent time.
A happier time in his life, yeah.
He lives in a very dark place now. He lives in a rough neighborhood, this shitty apartment. He breaks people's thumbs for a living. His hobby is punching people in the face and being punched. Harkening back to that childhood or those football days and stuff, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah,
yep.
Good. Very good.
Well, lunch for me. Come on over, make yourself comfortable, relax.
It's all good.
Do you have a phone?
No, I ain't got no phone. I had to pull, you know, because people calling all the time and who needs the aggravation, right?
Totally agree. I hate phone calls. I do in general.
Well, yes, we do now. We're like, text me.
I've always hated phone calls. I've never liked talking on the phone ever, even before cell phones. I've just never enjoyed phone call conversations, talking on the phone. I need to see the person. I like FaceTime. I'd rather FaceTime than phone call, if that makes sense. I want to see your face when I talk.
It's funny. I actually hate video calling. Hate it.
Well, welcome to the podcast.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, I would rather talk on the phone than FaceTime. I think it's hilarious. He's like, you know, people calling all the time. Who's calling him all the time?
He says, I had the phone line pulled. I had people calling all the time. What that really means is my phone line was disconnected because I didn't pay the bill. The people who were calling me were probably people from other places that I owed money to.
Bill collectors. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's dodging the bill collectors.
Yeah, or the police or someone. You know what I mean?
I never made that connection, honestly. I took it as, because, you know, we insert ourselves into the characters. I just took it as if Ryan was there, it would be that I don't like the interruptions either. I want to be left alone. But you're right. In his world, it was probably debt collectors, pay the bills. Right. It's harder to get a hold of you if you don't have any way of getting a hold of you. You have to go to your house. You'd have to make the effort to go there and talk to him face to face. And he probably just never answers the door. Good theory.
I never took it like that. I just took it as he's making excuses for why he can't afford to have a phone.
I think all the above, probably. But I think it's a money thing. You're right. It would be a money. Yeah. At the end of the day, it's a money thing. One way or the other. Yeah, for sure. But here's the thing. She does want to make a phone call. And this is actually another indication she wants to, because she wants to call Polly to say that she's there. Why call Polly to say that she's at Rocky's if she had no intention of staying? So again, that's showing intention.
Ollie made the comment that if he's late coming home, Adrian calls the hospital.
Of course.
Yeah, so she's assuming that he might be worried about her, which he's not. But
I mean, I think to her, that's important. She's probably a little neurotic that way.
I don't think this was maybe thought of as much in the 70s, but nowadays, our girlfriend, like, we're always, you know, text us. You're going out with someone, text us. Where are you? In case something happens to you, we know where you were last. If you need help or something.
I'm curious. I've never really thought about this before, but right behind Rocky's head is a picture. What is that picture?
Looks like a old Renaissance type painting. Let's see if we can get it later. But we got, to quote the ice rink guy, 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Got, here we go.
Interruptions. Who'd you want to call?
I want to let my brother know where I am.
Why?
I think he might be worried.
Well, I'll call your brother. That's the problem.
Yo, Paulie, your sister's with me. I'll call you back later. See ya.
What's the matter? You don't like the room, do you?
It's fine.
Well, it's only temporary, you know. What's the problem? You don't like me? You don't like the turtles? What's the problem?
I don't think I belong here.
It's okay.
I don't belong here.
Remember at the start of the movie where he's talking to Paulie and says, hey, your sister, you know, what's the deal here? I tell her jokes. She seems to laugh at them. She seems to like my visits. She interacts back with me, but I'm not really getting anything back. I think at this moment right now, he's addressing the issue. We've got this weird tension between the two of us. I think you like me. You've given me enough. You've come on the date. You've come into my apartment. What's the problem? He's not saying, why aren't you having sex with me? I think we know that's where it heads. But now it's like, what's wrong? Is it me? Is it the turtles? Is it the way I look? Why is it you're not opening it up more? I think that's what Rocky's doing. This is the most assertive he's really been. He's actually directly asking, what's going on? Do you like me or do you not like me?
And he walks towards her. I mean, I don't know how she, because she even takes a step back when he walks towards her and he puts his hands up on the pipe. But that sequence where he gets up from the couch, puts his hands in his pocket, walks towards her, he is so hot. I don't know how she doesn't just jump on him. Right. He looks so hot in that sequence.
He looks great. He's a man's man here. Absolutely. He looks fantastic. It's peak Sly. You know, he looks awesome. It's that natural build before he went, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's okay because you're my guest, you know.
I don't know you well enough. I've never been in a man's apartment alone.
So now she's completely aware of what Rocky wants.
Yeah.
Rocky's made it known by inviting her to the apartment. Of course, she's not stupid. She knows what she's doing here, and he knows what he's doing here. That's when she indicates, I've never been alone in a man's apartment. She's actually telling Rocky, I'm a virgin.
Yeah, good point.
She is not busted. For sure.
No, she's not boosted yet.
I don't love that she kind of keeps backing up. I know at the time, I do think it's like pretty innocent, but it walks a line. And because she says, I don't know you well enough, which is kind of odd, but we'll see what happens.
Which is very sweet of her to say that, because we know with Tinder nowadays, people don't know each other at all and they hook up.
I have to say too, this is just this backdrop. Listeners, you can't see this, but you have Rocky there. There's this really disgusting, gross mattress right beside him with a huge fucking knife stabbed through it. It's hilarious that this isn't comedic.
It's true.
But it's also, I love it, because it's not your typical cheesy romantic film.
Good point.
Like really the polar opposite. This is the exact opposite setting that you'd have any type of romance in.
Yeah.
Which is what makes it kind of cool, I think.
Mm-hmm.
4 minutes.
We're all the same, you know.
Great line. We're all the same.
I'm not sure I know you well enough.
Says it again. She knows what's coming.
I feel comfortable.
No, I know. She says she's
comfortable. You know, I ain't so comfortable. Easy.
I should go.
Don't go, please. Don't come.
Now, I saw your expression there, Kyle, and for our watchers, here's the thing. We know Rocky. We know his character. We know the love that they have together. Like, it's just unfortunate it was filmed this way because...
Yeah. And by the way, I just wanted to say, I do have my friend just texted me that she's going to be late. So I have...
We don't have to rush so
probably,
much. Okay.
Yeah, I have probably another 10 or 15 minutes.
Perfect. What's your thoughts on this scene overall?
Yeah, I mean, it is like... Watching it when I grew up, granted I was like a kid or whatever, but it never made me uncomfortable watching it when I grew up. It is hard to detach from the current lens watching it. Probably even then, he shouldn't have done it. Probably regardless, there was probably another way he could have. But because they're not strangers, he's not making her feel like he's like going to murder her or rape her, I don't think. But it's hard. Like, I do think it's innocent. But it is also cringeworthy in today's lens. But she even kind of looks at his arm. There is a wanting. Not that that, again, it's very hard. It doesn't bother me only because I've been a fan of this movie for so long and I can remember that it didn't bother me growing up. And I truly believe that if she right now insisted that she wanted to go, that would
That's
be it.
That's the key, yes. If she put her hand on the doorknob and said, I'm sorry, Rocky, I have to go. He wouldn't put his hand on the doorknob and said, no, you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think, Kyle?
Well, first of all, I would be interested what your friend Kim thinks, because not familiar or not as familiar with Rocky. She saw Rocky not too long ago for the first time, right?
I can tell you exactly what she would think, because I know her. She would also jump on him. I don't think she would have a problem with it either.
It's always the eyes of the viewer. At the end of the day, you're going to have to take, you pull 1,000 Rocky fans, you're going to get 1,000 different answers.
Right. Or, yeah. But if I were a virgin, it would make me uncomfortable, probably.
When we're watching it now, they'll say in the 2022 lens of Me Too, but I think that's not the lens that makes us favor this. It's what Katie said earlier. It's we like Rocky. You grew up with these movies. I showed this movie to my wife in 2007, and she saw this scene, and she was like, what the
If she would have, because that was the first time she saw it in the 2000s.
2000s.
And, like, there are a lot of things that were common back in the day, and it still doesn't make it okay.
Right.
You know, looking back on a lot of things that happen, you're like, wow, that was really effed up. But
yeah, look at the Little Rascals. There's Little Rascal. You know, they have like racism in the Little Rascals. Back in the day, they're G-rated comedies when we were kids. But you can't do, like, we know that.
Yeah.
Of course, I agree with Kyle and his wife's viewing. Of course, it's not proper behavior. We know that. But I'm just saying, I never thought that I was supposed to know that. Is all I mean, because Ryan doesn't operate that way, and we know the Rocky. All these things are true, is what I'm getting at. Everyone's right, because that is what it is. It's just, you look at a painting, we're all going to have a different idea of what that painting might mean. But at the end of the day, the artists might have their reasons. So Sly's the artist here, right? He created a character that was not dangerous. So at the end of the day, the character isn't dangerous. We know he's not dangerous. We know that Adrian could have left, in theory, in this universe at any time. Rocky would have let her go, because that is his character. He can't even break people's thumbs who are bad. He's not going to.
Right.
He's not going to assault a girl. It's just, yes, for a mass audience appeal, this has to be rewritten. That's all. So that's the balancing act. The character is not bad, but for artistic purposes of a mass appeal, 2020 or anything after 2000. You have to rewrite this scene, because it's a different narrative nowadays. You can't write this way anymore on a first date.
I would love to hear, if we have any listeners, ideally women, but men too, who were dating in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear how your reaction was.
Bill Cosby? Well, I don't know if Bill Cosby, his thoughts are on this.
To me, this is just so cut and dry. Like, it's like, I want to go. I'm feeling uncomfortable. And then dude pins her into a corner and says, I am going to kiss you. I don't know.
You're right, Kyle. Like, if this was a man, a big man that was not attractive, I'd be like, that's effed up. You know, like, you're right. Yeah. I do like it because it's Rocky, and I find him extremely attractive. But if I didn't, I'd be like, get me out of here.
Right.
I could still like the Rocky films and like the Rocky character and not be okay with every scene.
Donald, really quickly here, and then we'll finish the scene so Katie can go boating. He writes here, intent matters, and the intent on and off screen was meant innocently, but it is what it is. And that's all we can say. Like, we know it was written as an innocent love scene. It is innocent. We know that. That's the intent. The presentation, okay, it's flawed. Yeah. So
I agree with that. I don't really believe the Rocky character would force Adrian. Like, he kind of forced a kiss on her. I don't think he would have gone further. Than that,
because we have it paused on her. I just want to comment on her. I think she is just stunningly beautiful.
Yeah.
I think she gets hotter when he takes off the hand glass. No, I love it when she does take off the hat, because the way her hair falls on her face, it is very pretty. I'm not gonna lie.
She has like flawless skin,
and her features. She's got perfect lips, a perfect nose, perfect eyebrows. Yeah, gorgeous eyes. She's beautiful.
And she's about to get busted.
Do me a favor.
What?
Take off your vest. You have nice eyes. No. Do me another favor. Just take off that hat.
Talia Shire, actually, during this scene, actually had the flu. She was extremely sick in real life.
Pretty. Don't tease me.
I'm not teasing.
She's very pretty.
I ain't teasing. I want to kiss you. You don't have to kiss me back if you don't want. I want to kiss you.
Wasn't so much the kiss as the rubbing of his lips against her cheek, but here we go.
But she consents here, because she kind of looks.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It might be her first kiss, the way she's acting.
It probably is. And clearly she's not been told she's pretty ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want you to listen when they drop to the floor. You do hear a very subtle moan from Adrian. You actually hear it. Listen for the moan. She's
yeah, no, I know it.
It's like a gaspy moan. It's actually quite sensual. Here, listen. Listen carefully.
Okay, there. Yeah. Right there.
There were a few of them.
When I'm having the sexy time, you'll feel your partner do this too. Like a certain exhale, there's like a rush of endorphins or something sure. like that. I don't know if that was on purpose or not.
That's I think it's post audio production. Talia Shire's in the booth. All right, Talia, we need you to make a little bit of a.
She just, even as they slid down, she kind of was like,
Yeah. Oh,
you
yeah.
know, like,
This is the most awkward kissing scene. She's like fully clothed in this coat. They're crunching down in front of the front door, which also has like this kind of rope down it. And they're kind of perched up and resting against this refrigerator by the floor. Like, it's not weird. Like on the bed or something like that. It was like they were kind of so caught in the moment.
Yeah.
They're doing this here, right there.
Which is hot, which is hot. I wonder if they remained there or if they like moved to a new locale. I have to comment, and I kind of hate saying this, but I have to. Even as a kid, God, if Sly ever listened, the kiss is not hot. Did anybody else notice before they really are like wrapped into each other? It does not look like a good kiss.
It could be because she did have the flu. And I think Talia Shire said that she actually hesitated kissing Sly in real life. She didn't want to get him sick. It plays into the film a little bit, but she was actually hesitant in real life about kissing Sly because she was that sick.
But the way he kisses her is, I'm like, oh God, is he not a good kisser? Yeah.
It's not the best kiss. It could be just a full a real life flu slash the actors acting awkward, everything combined. Yeah, it's not the most.
Some people you have sexual chemistry with and some people you don't.
Yeah.
They have great chemistry acting wise and as a couple, but that's not the same as physical intimacy type of chemistry.
One last thing as we close. This is a nice bow tie on the scene. This is from Donald. Great comments from Donald. They have great comments from everyone. Don't get me wrong. I just want to say everyone in our Discord, thanks for joining. If you want to join us, join our Discord. Look at the show notes to see how you can join our Discord. So you can join us live when we record. He goes on to say here that the filmmakers didn't make us love Rocky for an hour plus, and now he's suddenly a rapist. If they could redo it, they would. We know he's a lovable, harmless, good person. He helps kids on the street. He's cordial and nice and gentle, blah, 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 blah. We are more enlightened now. It's good. It's good that we are more enlightened now, of course. It's good that we're safer now, that we're more active in sexual assault cases, that we're vocal about it. These are all good things. So we're not excusing the behavior per se. I'm glad we are where we are. I have a daughter, or I have children, so I want my kids to be raised in a society where this kind of stuff is not normalized, it is talked about, so that's all good stuff, of course.
I have an honest question, and I this is not rhetorical, I do not know the answer to this. I'm not super familiar with a lot of films in the 70s. Is there any scene remotely like this in film? And I'm not talking about like the specifics here, I'm talking, because we say like this thing, oh, it was the 70s, which has a point. Is there any other scene where people are like, is this consensual? In movies? I'm sure
there is. I mean, we're not talking about straight on sexual assault scenes, of course, but I would assume.
Yeah.
Definitely the environment was different. We know that with the catcalling. We saw it like in shows like Laverne and Shirley, these comedy shows and stuff, that women were not. They were sexualized and. Not just sexualized, sorry. They were. You just look at any comedies from the 70s and 80s, the way they were treated in the office and the way they were treated at home. Like, it was normal. Again, not good, but it was normalized. So so when you look at the backdrop of a lot of how women were treated in film, objectified, that's the word, sorry. They were objectified in film and screen all the time. So in a sense, I think if you want to even flip it, this is even more innocent because Rocky's not objectifying Adrian. He's actually trying to show her that she is sweet, that she is pretty, that she has beautiful eyes, that, you know, him saying, I'm going to kiss you again. I know it doesn't sound right today, but he's just saying, like, I really want to kiss you. you don't have to kiss me back. What he's saying is, I'm giving you a heads up, I'm going to kiss you. If you don't want to have a kiss, just let me know. He probably could have worded it better, right? But again.
Well, he does pause. Agreed. I feel like there was a nonverbal consent in that interaction, whereas, you know, nowadays it should be verbal, but most of the time it's probably not. But yeah, he says, I want to kiss you. Then he hesitates. And then he says, I'm going to kiss. Like, he gives her plenty of opportunity to say no.
To answer your question, Kyle, we've got a couple answers. Bruce Willis had similar moments in Moonlighting, same kind of behavior, and that was in the 80s. Louise said that Gone with the Wind, there was even an implied rape scene. So she had sex when she didn't necessarily ask for it. So definitely bigger films.
Even in the 90s, like TV shows, like comedies, strangers would grab a woman's ass.
Right. Or slap like, your bladder or something.
I just watched a rerun of The Nanny the other day, and they were at a basketball game, and some jerk off sitting behind her, like, grabs her ass, and she was just like, what are you, you know, it was like laughed off.
Yeah. Ha, 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 ha. It's so silly. Yeah.
A stranger touching. You know, a sexual part of you. I mean, like, what the hell? Yeah.
So again, I'm glad we live it today, again, with my children, and I'm old enough that I don't worry about me. I'm not worried about Ryan being sexually harassed. Or, you know, my kids. Yeah, I like knowing that we are more aware and that everyone's aware. So with this kind of behavior, it's like, whoa, what are you doing? You can't be doing that. That's good. We want that. So very passionate episode. I love it. I love the discussions because we knew the scene was coming. We know the scene will continue to be quote unquote not divisive is the right word, but it will continue to elicit responses from people throughout the years to come. But we just want to make a letter known on the One More Round podcast. Yes, we recognize that this wouldn't be written today, that I agree with the comments that of course it'd be rewritten to reflect Rocky's intent of who he is as a character. It just had the misfortune of being written back then, so it doesn't age as well. So it's one of those classics, didn't age well, but we know the intent was pure. It just doesn't translate very well as years go on. It's going to get worse and worse as years go on. It's going to always be a scene that's going to be one of those scenes, right? Okay, ready for the answers? Here we go. Number 16, what is the name of the bar that Rocky goes to? It is the Lucky Seven.
I also had / Andy's Bar because later it's Andy's Bar, but...
Yeah, good job.
And I also have the Lucky Seven tab.
You have Lucky Seven, you get a point.
Yeah. What Oscar did this movie win? Now, first off, how many did you guys write? How many Oscars?
Oh, shit. I only wrote the one I knew for sure.
But okay. I'm like, there's not any more.
Okay, so what are the three?
Three.
Okay, and you're right. There are three.
Well, definitely Best Picture.
Yeah.
And then I think score and editing, but I'm not certain about the other two.
Did you get Best Original Screenplay?
No, it was Best Editing. And best.
That's what
direct-
I said.
Yeah, editing, best director, and best
director.
Yeah.
Okay. So how are you scoring this if you didn't get all of them?
I don't know. I don't really care. What do you think, Kyle?
I was gonna say if you get one, you get a point, but that favors me because I only got one. So, so what do you want to do? Are we scoring it? Is a 3-point question?
I'm happy with whatever.
Fine. We'll score it as a 3-pointer.
Okay. All right, you're the tally guy, so it's up to you there, Kyle. It's you. Okay. What type of dog is Butkus? Now, I'm going to say, because I'm not sure. Let me know if I'm wrong, because I know Katie knows for sure. A bull mastiff?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't get that one.
You didn't, Kyle?
I like dogs, but I'm not super knowledgeable about them.
I've said it on the podcast before. Do you not listen? I'm giving you a hard time.
I'm sorry.
Number 19, what are the names of the turtles?
Puff and Blink.
Right. Now, true or false, the Las Vegas odds say Rocky will last three rounds. I'm just going to say false.
Yes, it's false.
Okay.
In Rocky 2, Rocky was a 5-1 underdog, which means he had a 1-6 chance of winning. They said in the first fight, he was a 50-1 underdog, which means he had a 1-51 chance of winning.
There you go. Those might be questions later on, so we'll stand by for that. Just so you know, the official answer, Kyle does just say best pitcher. So if you want, we all just got 1 point if you want to do it like that as well.
Sure.
Okay, that'll be easier.
Yeah. Rocco gave us the answer as best pitcher as the official answer. So
okay.
How many points did you guys get? Did you guys get all five?
Yeah.
Okay. Ryan has 19. Katie has 17.
Ooh.
I have 18.
Oh, wow.
So Ryan, you're winning. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you, Rocco, for putting that book together. And I encourage everyone to support Rocco by buying the book online. It's the Rocky Trivia Book by Rocco
Muschietti.
Thank you. There you go. So make sure you buy that one. There's a couple other trivia books out there. Make sure you buy Rocco's. Okay. Well, that is it for the episode.
And hear no bell.
I just want to say one thing.